following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Tonight we're in Psalm 123, and we are continuing our hike. We're taking a hike through the songs of ascent, and tonight we're in Psalm 123, and I've given it the title, Mercy, Mercy, Mercy. And I almost called it Mercy Me. How many of you like the band Mercy Me? It's kind of the cry here. It's more like, and you'll see, Mercy, Mercy, Mercy Me. And it's amazing, beautiful, strategic cry for mercy at this point. And beautiful psalm, beautiful psalm. I'm excited to read it to you tonight. Let's stand together as we do. You know, I think of all the seasons in Orange County that I love, this is it. What do you think it is about this season that just gets me? And it really does it. There's moments where it just almost, I don't want to exaggerate, but almost takes my breath away. What is it? Somebody guess. Not the June bugs. Not the June bugs. What else? The jacarandas. Oh, man. When those trees pop purple, lavender, whatever it is like that, it's just like, wow. There's one neighborhood, if you drive down the 22, right before you get to the 57, I think it is, you look off to the right, it's down towards the zoo, I think. Just both sides of that street lined with the jacarandas, or as they, I think they properly pronounce it in Mexico, jacarandas. They're just gorgeous, just gorgeous. And it just reminds me of those, you know, what you were talking about tonight, Travis, the seasons in life. There's tough seasons, and there's wonderful seasons. And I'm just thanking God for, I'm going to gush again if I go there, but I'm just thanking God for this wonderful season and joys in my life and reminders as we've looked back over the goodness of God to us for four decades. And his blessing is just amazing. And I really got stopped in my tracks, I would have to say, as I read through Psalm 123 over and over again. So I want you to read it out loud with me if you've got your Bible there. I don't care what translation it is, but let's read it out loud together, starting at verse 1, Psalm 123. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Father, I thank you for this anonymous songwriter that just in a handful of words so embodied what we feel at times. And described a place that we need to go on our journey with you, this hike, this walk we're on with you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you have kept us moving. Lord, would you continue to keep us moving forward until we arrive at that place where we are home together with all the kids accounted for, all the children home. And that tonight, Father, speak to us from this beautiful psalm in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, take a hike. Take a hike. Look back at Psalm 120. You remember where we were when we started this? We were in Meshech. And the guy says, guy or girl, whoever wrote it, distress, in my distress, Lord, I cry out to you. Where? In this wicked place where I'm surrounded, he said, I dwell among violent people and deceitful people. And he's basically saying, enough. He's saying, remember the song from the 60s or 70s? I gotta get out of this place. Anybody remember that? Next line? Yeah, yeah. Most of us are not singers, are we? But if it's the last thing I ever do. And that's what the songwriter of Psalm 120 is saying. I got to get out of here. Everything will be better if I get out of here. And so he sets his sights to leave and to leave this violent place. And so he heads down the road, and he's heading for Jerusalem. He's heading for the holy city. You move into So Psalm 120, and he says, I'm looking at these hills, Lord. I'm going to need help. Where does my help come from? He's not saying, he's not even considering the hills as a source of help. The hills are the source of the problem, the difficulty, and the dangers that are hidden in the hills. He said, Lord, I'm going to need help. And my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. It's a beautiful song where as he starts his journey, I've got to leave here. No way will I arrive where I need to be without your help. So God, please come and help me. And then Psalm 122, where he says, oh, I was so glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. That invitation, God's saying, come here. And he, as he's on the road, he says, I was just so thrilled. I was so thankful when somebody invited me, and this is so important to get, when somebody invited me to the what? House of God. Not to the headquarters of God. Not to his institution. Not to his big business, but to his house. Look, if you haven't come into a family relationship with God where you call him what? Father, Abba. Then you've misunderstood what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to bring you home to the Father. And when his disciples said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? He said, yeah, I'll teach you how to pray. Start like this. You talk to God as your Father. And I don't know, maybe there's folks here tonight that haven't realized that God is Father, and maybe the word Father just dredges up some bad feelings for you. Okay, leave those in the category they belong in, but don't put that dredged up stuff about what Father was, don't put that on God, because God is the perfect Father. And I love how the writer there, David, he says, oh, I'm so glad when they said, let's come to the house of the Lord together. Let's go back home. Let's go home. God's calling you home. If you haven't come home yet, God calls you home tonight. And then here now, in Psalm 123, let me tell you where we are. And this is serious. We are at a very, very serious fork in the road. That's one metaphor. The other metaphor would be we're at a point on this trail and on this hike where at least at this point, for a while, it's pretty steep. It's hard climbing right now because of the focus and the content of Psalm 123. And I think it's possible, although I hope it's not true, that there are some here tonight that just might even decide, I can't go there. That's too steep for me. It's too hard. It's just way above me. And there may be some tonight that even decide that they're going to turn back and go back down to where it's all familiar. Back down to the life that maybe you even knew before you started this hike. I had a moment like that. One profoundly, it's as they say, indelibly imprinted on my mind. I was living in Long Beach on Ocean Boulevard, just, I guess, west of Cherry Avenue, in the Admiral Apartments, about a block and a half over. And I'd been a Christian for a number of months. It was on towards summer, so maybe 6-7 months. I was convinced I just couldn't do this. The road was too steep. And I decided I'm going back. I'm going back to the life that I knew. I remember for all those months, this was my transportation. I hitchhiked everywhere I went. It was stupid, it was dangerous, and I got myself beat up. Really badly beat up one time in Anaheim, hitchhiking home from a Jesus meeting. But I decided I'm just going back. And everywhere that I would travel, you know, hitchhiking everywhere, I would almost always get picked up by hippies because I still looked like a hippie. I was a saved wannabe hippie, but I still looked like a hippie. So I'd stand down there, wherever it was, and hippies would pick me up, and I'd jump in. They'd say, hey, you want some? And they'd pass a joint around the car. And I'd always come back with this. I'd say, no, I got something better. They'd lean over the front seat, what do you got? And I said, I've got Jesus. And I remember one ride up on Highway 1 coming down above Morro Bay, and I told the hippies in the front, I said, no, I got something better. It's Jesus. They said, oh. They pulled over the car, and we were out. That was the end of the ride. But this day, I decided I'm going looking for a VW microbus full of hippies. And I know that I'll get offered, you know, pot again and drugs, and I'm going back. I'm just going back. I'm giving up. And so I stood on that corner for 30, 35, 40, maybe 45 minutes. And VW bus after VW bus went straight on by me, full of hippies. And I'm thinking, the dream is dead. They won't even pick up one of their own. And now I'm realizing that this is, and I'm really, I'd been with the Lord long enough to know that he'll roadblock you at times. How many of you know what I mean? He'll roadblock you because he loves you, just like a dad, just like a good dad, a good dad, a good mom will say, you know, no, you're not going there. You're going to have to climb over me to get there. And so I'm trying to run from God, and he says, not so fast. And I realized it at that moment. Now I'm like, I'm getting a little bit angry with God. He won't even let me run from him. And I went over into the park. I know I've told this story before, but I went over into the park, and I stretched out on a bench. I took my shirt off, gather a few rays and just sort of stew in the sun. And I laid there, and this old man came by. I didn't know immediately it was an old man because my eyes were closed, but he stood, so his shadow was shading my face. And I could tell, when you're in the shade and the cloud and you just, oh, the sun's gone. I looked up and here's this old guy. When I say old, some of you are thinking, you mean like your age, Pastor Bill? No, way older than me. At least 33% older than me. And he's leaning on a cane. He's dressed in black. It's a hot day. He's got a black suit on. He's got a white shirt, black tie, black hat. And he leans on his cane. He looks down at me and he said, young man, you're going to get a sunburn laying there like that. And I looked up at him. I don't remember what I said, but I know that it was rude. And it's something like, leave me alone or why should you care? And he leaned on his cane. And he looked down at this rebel who decided to run back down the hill. And he said, young man, do you know that Jesus loves you? And I knew that moment, it's futile to run from God. Because if he lets you get away, he's only let you get away, and he's going to let you stumble down a cliff and maybe come to your senses. I was so thankful that day, and I've said this before, I don't know, but I think that was probably the last assignment that man ever had. He went home and died, probably. You know, it might have been the last thing he ever did for Jesus, but he took a stewing, fuming hippie, and he told him again, Jesus loves you. Nothing's changed. The Jesus that loved you enough to save you still loves you, and he wants you. I went back, and I didn't run. But some people will go back, maybe, because it's familiar down there in the jungle, in the bog, in the swamp that Jesus dug you out of, down there in the pit, in the slough. How many of you remember the Pilgrim's Progress? Remember that location that was called the Slough of Despond? You know, a slough is a swamp. It's just ugly and murky and musty. But it's familiar down there in all those ruts. And then we'll sink right back in to the darkness and the bondage and the despair and maybe come to our senses. So I hope nobody decides tonight, this is just too hard. It is hard. There are elements of the Christian life that are difficult. Chris Langham preached that to you a couple of weekends ago about the fight that we're involved in. Alan talked about it the last time he preached here, about those times of temptation. There's just times where it's just simply hard. But it's a whole lot harder if you go back down, because then you got to climb back up again. But there are three new themes that pop out of this brief little psalm that we're going to cover very quickly tonight. There's a theme of servanthood. And there's the theme of mercy and confession. Now, it's the first time in this little musical, this collection of 15 songs, that these three themes really come up. The first one, of servanthood. And then this cry three times for mercy. And then this really beautiful and honest moment of confession, where the songwriter says, let me tell you about me. Look at verse 1 and 2 again. Let's hit the servanthood part. Here's the man who back in Psalm 120, at least us that are on this journey, we started out in our distress crying to the Lord. And in Psalm 121, we're lifting up our eyes and we're looking at the hills and we're looking higher at the Lord who's above those hills. Now, look at this songwriter. He says, unto you I lift up my eyes. Not looking at the hills any longer, but I look at you, and look at his position. He said, I look at you like a servant. I look at you, Lord, like I'm the servant, you're the master. My eyes are fixed on you like a servant looking to the master to serve my master. Or like the maid who looks to her mistress. One translation says it like this, for the slightest signal that you need me, whether it's a snap of the finger or a waving of the hand. Here I am, Lord, and I'm looking to you, and I finally get it. This is all about you. This is not about me. That the best place I can be in life is to rise to the level of your servant. Instead of the servant of sin, God, I am yours. I belong to you now, and I lift my eyes up to you. You've already got the one, but I want you to look at this. Look at these. Who are you looking at? Psalm 121, I've mentioned it. Look at it again. Read it with me. Verse 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so, Lord, I'm looking up to you. Turn to Hebrews. Hold that place in Psalm 123 and turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. Look at this. I think we've been here probably once or twice a year. We cycle around to these couple of verses. But here, as the writer of Hebrews, I think it's Paul, he wraps up his letter to the Jewish believers. He says in verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Read this next verse with me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This writer said, you know who I'm looking at? You know who I suggest that you look at? Look to the Lord Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Where? In the middle of your struggles. In the middle of this long hike that's going to require endurance. Don't get your eyes off Jesus. You'll look at the problems, but look higher than the problems. Look up. Everybody say look up. Look up to Jesus. Look up to Jesus. That's a very, very important angle to keep in mind when you look to Jesus. You're not just looking across at him, though he's walking with you. And you certainly are not looking down on him, and we'll talk about that in a second. You look up to Jesus. Turn back a few pages in your Bible to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. That's page 1354 in my Bible. Oh, you're going to love this one. You keep looking at Jesus and listen to what you're going to one day see. Let's start reading in verse 1. Here we go. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. What's he saying? Look up to heaven. Now look at verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Read verse 4 out loud with me. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We're looking for an amazing upgrade. And listen, brothers and sisters in Jesus, it's coming. And Paul says to the Colossians, keep looking up to Jesus. And then one day, as you're looking up to him, guess what? You're going to see him. You keep looking up and one day, he's going to appear out of that mist. He's going to appear in the clouds, and you get to see him. The same theme, going back to Psalm 123, the same theme here about looking up to him. He says, God, I'm looking to you. Unto you I lift my eyes. To who? To you who dwells in the heavens, just like a servant, Lord. I look to you. And just like the maid looks to the mistress for the slightest signal about what you want next from me, Lord, I am going to continue to look to you. How long? Well, until you appear, Lord. Now listen to what he says at the end of verse 2, back in Psalm 123, and we'll stay here the rest of our time. He says this, until our eyes look to the Lord our God, read this with me, until he has mercy on us. And so say it with me, verse 3. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. Why? Well, because we are filled with contempt. We are filled with contempt, exceedingly filled with contempt. And our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. I've read that for years. Well, let me be honest, for decades. And I've always looked at it with this angle. Lord, my life is just so hard because people hate me. Life is so hard for me because of the contempt that people look upon me with. Because the way that the proud treat me. Life is hard for me as a follower of Jesus at times. Why? Well, because people make fun of me for being a follower of Jesus. Because they respond to my Facebook posts and they tell me I'm an idiot. I'm following fairy tales because I believe in Jesus. How many of you have had anybody tell you, they sort of look down their nose at you and think, oh, you poor thing, you poor thing. Still following fairy tales. Still make believe. And Lord, it's hard because the way people look at me with contempt and with scorn and with pride, but it's not what he says. This writer who's dealing with this scorn and contempt and this pride, he says, we are filled with it. He's confessing like the prophets did, like Daniel did. Daniel's sitting in slavery in Babylon. He doesn't say, they're guilty, God, go get them. He says, we have sinned against you, Lord. And the other prophets say, Lord, this is all our fault. It's not the fault of all the wicked around. This is our fault, Lord. It's us who have sinned against you. And this songwriter says, I thought all my troubles would be over when I got out of Meshach. I thought it was those lousy Meshachians that were my problem. And those Kedarians down there in the far reaches of the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. How many of you remember the Mac Davis song? I thought happiness was Lubbock, Texas in my rearview mirror. Anybody remember that? How many of you thought that happiness for you was your old hometown in your rearview mirror? I just need to get out of New Richmond, Ohio, and I'll be okay. That's what this journey seems to have started on. I just need to get out of Meshach. I need to get out. Happiness is Meshach and Kedar in my rearview mirror, and I'll be okay. But he writes like a man who's been on this journey long enough that he's come to this fork in the road, and he says, you know, it still smells like Meshach here. It still feels like Kedar here. There's still contempt, and there's scorn, and there's mockery, and there's pride. And he I think he's writing like he realizes, Lord, there's still stuff in me that needs to be dealt with. How many of you have walked with Jesus longer than last weekend? Anybody been a Christian longer than a few days? How many of you still absolutely, honestly, and I won't ask you to identify it, the points, but realize there are issues in your life that need to get dealt with. There's still the stuff of Meshach and Kedar in me. Please do. Well, the Lord doesn't need any favors from you. But the world that we so desperately want to understand how wonderful Jesus is, do those that we're trying to reach a favor. Don't pretend like you have it all together. We don't need any more pretend Christians who are pretending like they've got it figured out. We need a lot of honest Christians that when people are dealing with their junk and their dirt, you say, I still got dirt too. I'm going to show you this. I held up this bag, but you can't really see anything in there. Joy and I, on our little trip, we found a bunch of little shards of glass like these. It's really beautiful. And you look for the cobalt blue. It's really rare. And the red and the real oranges, not just the thin beer bottle browns, but the real oranges. And so we found these. And like I said, you saw the ring that Joy found. But look at how it looks on her. It's just beautiful, isn't it? But the pieces that were so intriguing to me were these. Look at these. These are just they were clear glass at one point. They're just clear glass. And they really were intriguing to me. They're little, the kind of the bigger pieces that we found. But here's what I noticed as I worked them in my hands and as we dipped them into the water, look closer at these when they get wet. There's dirt trapped inside of them. There's some dirt that's down in crevices, and I can take a needle and I can probably scratch it out. But there's one here. I want to make it into a, you know, something. You can't call it a necklace for a man. It's got to be a what do you call it for a man? A piece, a chain. Yeah, a chain. And I'll wear it on a motorcycle chain around my neck, you know. But there's one piece in here that has some serious dirt that's deeply somehow, and I can't figure out where in the world it got into deep into that glass. And I pick these up, and when you roll them around in the water, they just get clear, and you can see the dirt in them. I'll let you guys look at these up close later on. But I looked at those, and I thought, God, that is exactly me. You came along, and it was just something about you, not about me, that you said, I want that. And you picked it up. You know what? It's just busted glass. And you said, I want that busted glass. As Joy and I were walking along this one beach, I'm kind of ahead of her. And so, oh, I found this, and I found this, and I found this. And then there's those little, I don't want those chips. I want the big stuff. And then we came to the end of our little walk down that beach, and Joy had way more than I did because she picked up what I didn't even think was a value. That's just like God. That is just like God. He took the discarded and the broken and anything you and I would look at as worthless, and he said, I want that. And he picks it up. And it's his now. These pieces, they're ours now, but there's still some dirt in there. And I believe that this man or woman, whoever it is, that writes this beautiful song is feeling like that. Lord, there's still some stuff in me that needs to be dealt with. And so what does this writer say? Three times, mercy, mercy, mercy. Lord, I look to you as a servant, and I'm ready to serve you. But I have been one of those people, I've been one of those people that didn't look up to God. I looked down on God with contempt and with scorn and with pride. Sort of with this idea of, why would I let you take over my life? Why would I want God to take over my life and mess up all the fun that I was having? I look back at my story, and I'm trying so hard to find out where the fun was. I mean, the really unadulterated fun that didn't have some sort of a barb at the end of it that just wasted me. And there were some points, some family fun and all that, but boy, the stuff that we railed in before we came to Christ and we called it fun. This guy says, Lord, I'm filled with contempt. I'm filled with mockery. I've become like the place that I've lived. And what do I need, Lord? I'm going to ask you for it three times. I need mercy. I need mercy. I need mercy. I need forgiveness, Lord. You know the difference between grace and mercy. You know the difference. Grace is just, here's a gift. I had you in mind, and I wanted to bless you. You're my friend. I'm going to give this gift to you, Rich, because you're just a gift to you. But if Rich went out and he bashed the windows of my truck back here, and he unloaded all, he brought his trash from home and dumped it in my pickup truck and made me haul his, and then he asked for a favor. Or if he did serious damage, and then I said, you know what, Rich, I'm going to pay for all that damage. You don't owe me anything. And here's that gift still. There's grace and there's mercy all bundled up together. It's been said over and over again, grace is God giving you something you didn't deserve. And mercy is God not giving you what you did deserve. There's no question in this writer's mind, Lord, I don't deserve a blessing from you. I'm not asking for what I've earned. I'm asking for mercy because I'm a guilty man and I need your mercy, Lord. This guy is looking up like a servant. He's looking up with humility, no longer mocking and no longer contemptible, no more pride. And on his journey, he says, Lord, obviously there's still some stuff in me that needs to get dealt with. And so, Lord, deal with it. And deal with it now, Lord. And show me mercy because I'm filled with stuff I want to get rid of. You notice how it ends. I mean, it's a brief little song. It's quick. And it doesn't end with a great big crescendo because it wasn't meant to. It was meant to bring us all to this point of reminder that we come to every month together. And every weekend, if you want, where we come to this table and we take this bread and we take one of these little tiny cups that are way too small, but we take these as a sacred memorial that Jesus came and poured out what? Mercy on us. That Jesus signed a peace treaty between God and man in his blood. The cross of Jesus Christ is the scroll upon which the peace treaty between God and man was written with the blood of Jesus. And so we come to this time with a solemn sense that, Lord, we come asking. Anybody tonight need mercy? You need grace too? You need all kinds of help, don't you? I need mercy. And I come tonight, Lord, confessing I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me. And I'm so thankful that you went to something that looked like that rugged cross for me. And you paid, and I come to the foot of that cross. And just like the pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, remember that scene where he drops on his knees before the cross and his burden comes bursting off of his back? Lord, I fall down again before you, and I ask you, Lord, to get at the dirt that's in that redeemed glass of my soul. Get down and scour me, Lord, and make me what you want me to be. This is a difficult fork in the road, and here's why. A steep ascent on this trail, because I have to get honest. I have to stop pointing my finger at the Meshechians and the Kedarians, and I have to deal with what Michael Jackson called the man in the mirror, and if only he had. I have to deal with the man that's in my mirror and say, Lord, that man right there needs mercy. Oh, he needs mercy. So, Lord, tonight, would you have mercy on me? Come to him tonight. And bow before him. Humble yourself before the God who loved you enough to let his son go through that hideous death for you because he loved you. Come running to him tonight if you've never come to him before and confess your sin and with an honest heart say, God, mercy, mercy, mercy for me. Why? Because, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to love you. Surrender to him. Joy and I heard this song while we were traveling. I think it was a band called All Sons and Daughters. And the line was something like, today's surrender is tomorrow's victory. You make a surrender to God today and you are on victory path. You surrender to Jesus today, your sin, and you receive his forgiveness. And you get to walk in his victory for you. So cry out for mercy and let God dig down deep there. Amen. No more finger pointing, dealing with the man, the woman that's in your mirror. Come to the cross and let Jesus make you absolutely clean. Come and find grace and mercy at this table. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.